Praise the Lord. Thank you, Carol. That's exactly why we should do everything by faith. It's exactly why right there out of his, come on. God just keeps giving. Trust him. Do things by faith. Hebrews 11 is, we call it the hall of faith. You'll look at it and study it and you'll see over and over and over again. It says by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. By faith, over and over in Hebrews 11, by faith. Understand, it's not blind faith, folks. It's a God that can do anything, a God that he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again and again and again and again. But we need to do things by faith and trust him. We would love to live by sight. We would love to, I've got to have a guarantee here. No, it's by faith, by faith. By faith, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, by faith, Noah. That's the title of the message, by faith, Noah. It could have been by faith, Jacob. Could have been by faith, Joseph. Could have been by faith, Moses. All over Hebrews 11. But they lived by faith. And I want to remind you of verse 6 right before our text, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. As a Christian, understand, without faith, you and I cannot please him. It is impossible, the Bible says. You say, yeah, but I've got to know what's going to... By faith, we need to know all that we can know and find out. And we're supposed to study. We talked about that. We're supposed to study our Bible, though. And so many of us, it's sad to say, we study the newspaper and we study Wall Street Journal and all these other secular organizations. We study it a whole lot more than what we study the Word of God. We have to live by faith. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. There is no greater life to live than the life by faith. And it is the life that you find out, as Carol just saying, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again and again and again. Father, bless the preaching. Please give us exactly what we need today. And help us, God, to walk away from here knowing those two words. Not only knowing them, but having made decisions that's exactly how we're going to live. By faith, not only individually, not only by family, but Lord, as a church, that we will live and do your will by faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started by testimony, I wanted to tell you that I told my Sunday school class, and last week I testified how my wife had hit a tire out on the interstate on 74 as we were coming back from Illinois. And hit a tire with the wheel attached and did some damage underneath my car and how we had a $1,000 deductible and in fact was told really it'd be better not to even turn it in to the insurance company. And the estimate given down by Indianapolis at the service place there, they said it'd be $1,200 to $1,500. They'd have to replace the exhaust. And again, it's amazing what could have happened. And I've had several people describe what could have happened, but what didn't happen. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I was able to get an appointment here at the dealership where I leased the car, and they said, "Look, we know what you need to do and what needs to happen and everything." And they said, "We're gonna try not to be too hard on you," and they have given me an estimate for $500. And so I'm praising the Lord about that. They don't have to replace the catalytic converter. That's the big dollar item. They don't have to replace that. And so they're going to be able to do it. And I'm just praising the Lord. I was just thrilled. I had all kinds of things. Of course, Brenda and I are going out of town tomorrow. We're going out of country tomorrow. And we're excited about that. But I had so many things going on. And that was one of the highlights of the week. Of several highlights, honestly, some different issues that were dealt with, and just praising the Lord over that. You say, yeah, but 500, yeah, but 500 is not 1,500. Amen. Amen. Just again, could have been so many things. And thank you so much for your prayers. I think I mentioned in the evening service, or maybe on a Wednesday night, that Brother Chase, right after that accident happened, I got a text from Brother Chase, and it just said, Pastor, I'm praying for you and for your safety. And that's just such a blessing. The world doesn't have that. Amen. The world, they don't have anything like that, you know, but we do. And praise the Lord for people praying for each other. So again, what a blessing. What an answer to prayer that was. So I'm excited about that. By faith, Noah. By faith. Really, those two words kind of sum up the building of the ark. And that's the whole story with Noah, is the ark. Like I said, I could have gone to talked about Abel or Enoch or anyone here in Hebrews 11, but I chose Noah. I love the story about the ark. I love looking at it. I love studying it. Somebody said, Pastor, they say they found Noah's ark. You want to see some pictures? Well, it doesn't matter to me what they found. I already know about Noah's ark because my Bible says so. I've heard people say, well, you know, that proves it. No, to be honest with you, this proves it. Amen. I mean, we know it's true. And one of these days, I suppose, when we get to heaven, maybe it'll be in one of the rooms. Maybe it'll be out in my backyard. I'm not sure. But I'm going to get to see it, and it's going to be an exciting thing. But we know that it took place, and we know it how? Well, we know it by faith. Amen. And really, all we do is by faith. That's the way it's supposed to be. As a Christian, that's the way it should be as a church. And I think really one of the most amazing stories is the story of Noah's Ark. And again, it sounds so simple in verse 7, by faith, Noah. It sounds so easy to you and I, doesn't it? I mean, by faith, well, of course. I mean, we're supposed to trust God, right? But what if that were you? Would there have been an ark? You know, what if that were Berean Baptist Church? Would there have been an ark? And we have oftentimes, somebody will say, oh no, we can't do it. Yeah, but God laid it on our heart, or God said to do this, or God told me to do it. I'll have a young person come and they'll say, you know, God, I know God wants me to do this, but, you know, will they do it? Does God want you to do it? Think about this morning. What is it God may want you to do by faith? You may be here and you've never been saved. You get saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, it's totally by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. That's how you get saved. There isn't any other way to get saved. There's no way. There isn't anything. We can't show you a video today that will show you that, you know, you are saved, or show you how to be saved, other than to say you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There isn't any other way. And so let's understand that by faith, be it Noah or be it your name or be it Berean Baptist Church, that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. You know, when God told Noah to do this job, to build this ark, as far as we know, Noah didn't say why. As far as we know, Noah didn't say, well, could you wait a minute? I got some other things. As far as we know, he didn't say, well, you know, I don't know how to do that. Or he didn't say, that's too hard. Or he certainly didn't say, well, I'll pray about it and I'll let you know, God. You know, he just, by faith, he did it. By faith, Noah. What is it in your life God wants you to do? Now, you know, I think there's somebody here, honestly, by faith you'd get your CDL. Amen. By faith, you'd say, yeah, but I've never driven a bus, and I'm a little nervous about all that. Plus, boy, those are tough hours. Yeah, bus route is tough hours. But by faith, if that's what God wants you to do, by faith. You know, there's so many jobs to do. And God has allowed man to serve him and do those jobs. It's just a matter of doing it by faith. You know, a Sunday school teacher teaches by faith. A deacon deeks by faith. Amen. It's all by faith. A nursery worker works nursery by faith. Yes, there's a need. And yes, you know, it shouldn't be, well, you know, they guilt trip me into, well, we'll try to do that. I mean, we won't. But hey, the job has to be done. There's so many things that we need to do. And by the way, I as a pastor, I look at the church and all that. But what about your job? There's some things by faith you're going to have to do. You know, there's things by faith. I think about the Lefevers. There's been some major, major changes in their lives over these years and the year and a half of being here at our church. And you know, again, it's okay, what are we going to do? What? Ultimately, as a Christian, we say, God, what do you want me to do? And then he tells us, and maybe we raise our eyebrows like, oh, wow. But ultimately, by faith, we do it. It could be our giving. Amen. I don't know of anything more exciting and more of a way to say thank you to God than our giving. Amen. I know it gets quiet on me. You say, yeah, I saw that list of projects. Well, you know, praise the Lord. Those are all things that have to be done. But, but again, it's not biblical or right if it's not by faith. Amen. Let me give you some points and we'll go home. Number one is the corruption. Of course, Noah. We know the story about Noah. And there was sin and wickedness. But again, that all adds up to Noah had to have some faith. Noah had to trust God. Go back to Genesis 6 real quick, and let's just look at that. And keep your place in Hebrews, because we're going to go back to that. But Genesis 6 is our story of Noah and the ark. And we're not even going to talk about the animals and all that today. We're just going to talk about the faith of Noah and how he did this by faith. By the way, getting on the ark is a wonderful picture of salvation. And that was by faith, just like the building of the ark. But we're not even going to get into that. Genesis 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine a mankind where every thought is evil? There's evil in the thinking. There's evil in the minds. There's sin and wickedness. And even so bad, verse 6, it says, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Now again, God knew all this was going to happen. God provided for our salvation before the foundation of the world. We've talked about that. And yet the reality is, and the truth is, it still grieved God at the wickedness of mankind. And I've got, seriously, thinking about the fact that I believe God is grieved in our world today and all the corruption and the thinking of people. Do you ever find yourself hearing the news or reading the paper or learning about something and you say, what in the world were they thinking? How could they do that? This latest beheading of a man. I mean, honestly, it's unbelievable. What are these people thinking? Well, it's their heart. It grieves God. It doesn't have to be that way. And were it not for the grace of God, my friend, that could be you with that kind of heart. That could be me with that kind. It could be any of us where we just kind of think evil all the time. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was corruption all over. Verse 11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And it was corrupt. There was corruption all over the earth. And folks, honestly, we're seeing so much of the same thing today. We really are, and it adds to by faith. The truth is, you know, there's so much corruption in our world. Do we ever find ourselves saying, what's the use? I guarantee it gets to the place. You kind of watch things happen, and you see decisions being made in the governments and different things, and you just say, you know, what's the use? Oh, my friend, listen, there's by faith. We God's still God. And God has dealt with corruption for ever since man. He knows what he's doing. Look, if you will, over at 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Keep your place in all these places. Amen. You say, I've only got so many fingers. Good, it keeps you busy. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. I've never preached on that verse, but as I was studying this, I saw it in a way I've never really paid attention. I think it's amazing. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Here's God. God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I am going to destroy the world. But as Noah's building the ark, God's waiting. God's way. As Noah preaches to those people as he's building the ark, God is waiting. His long suffering, he's waiting. He's holding back. Oh, the rain could come at any time, but he told Noah to build an ark, and about 100 years it took. Amen. And all that time, God is long suffering and he's waiting. He's holding back. Folks, that's what he's doing now. He's waiting. God is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. He's waiting. He's waited another day for you. If you're not saved, you have a chance to get saved. In a few minutes, we'll give an invitation. You'll have a chance to come and trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, listen to me. God's long-suffering. He's patient. And he's waiting. He's waiting. Though the corruption, it just seems, and I've found myself saying, it's got to be soon. I'll just hear a story, a news article. You know, somebody walked into a mall and just started shooting, and you know, and you just think, you know, and then all the liberals, they want to blame that gun. We're going to blame the gun, you know. Oh, let me tell you, folks, our God, he's just holding back. He's holding back. He's waiting. He's long-suffering. So that your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your coworker, whoever it is that's lost, so you can get another opportunity to give them the gospel so they can be saved. There's so much corruption. Number one, we see the corruption. And I will refer back to that in a minute as to the faith that is needed. Number two, we see the command. And it's so simple. It's so simple as far as the way the Bible gives it in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 13, and God said unto Noah. God said unto Noah. That's all. It goes on and he says, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then he gives this description of the ark. God said it, he describes it, and now he expects it to be done. I think that's amazing. And Hebrews tells us exactly what happened with Noah. By faith, he did it. He just did it. I mean, God commands him to do it. God said to do it. And the only way Noah is going to be able to do it is by faith. Now listen, folks, honestly, that's what church, that's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. It's for God to speak to our hearts about our lives and what we are supposed to do next. And then it's about us stepping out by faith and doing it. It involves our giving. It involves our service. It involves our jobs. It involves our relationships. It involves all those things. And it all comes down to, do I trust God or not? Do you understand when an invitation is given, it all comes down to, do I trust God or not? Before I got saved, I stood. When the pastor said to stand, I stood up. I grabbed hold of the back of the pew. And ultimately, I knew I needed to be saved. I knew I was going to go to hell. I knew that Jesus loved me and he died for me. But all it took was I had to trust God enough to step out and come and bow my knee and call upon Jesus to save me. That's all it took. And you understand that's all it takes for us. The command of God is present in every one of our lives. And it's not what the preacher says. It's not what the teacher says. It's not what a parent may say. It is God speaks to you. Now, sometimes he uses people in counseling and that. But ultimately, it comes down to, what has God told you to do? That's what you need to do. And then God, in his command, you know, he didn't just leave Noah hanging there. Okay, Noah, go build an ark. You have to understand, in those days, there weren't any arks. There was no clue as to a boat. You have to understand, I believe this, I don't think it had ever rained. God's telling Noah things that Noah's never seen before. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us. Things not seen as yet. I mean, he's showing him that he's telling him, hey, I'm going to flood the land and you are going to be in a boat that's going to save you and anyone who will come with you. Wow. I mean, honestly, Noah has got to be thinking, what is this? But it's going to take faith, Noah. I'll be honest with you, in my life as a Christian, there have been many, many, many times, in fact, it still happens, where I say, how can that be when God speaks to me? And I say, you know, I don't see how. But God then describes to Noah in Genesis 6, and he gives him the plans and the whole thing. He didn't say, figure it out for yourself. He said, here's what I want you to do, Noah. Now, will you step out by faith? Will you call Home Depot? Oh, there weren't any Home Depots. Yeah. Will you start cutting trees down? What are you going to do, Noah? I will tell you all the way through. And God did plan it perfectly. You know, I believe this with all my heart. We're all going to be shocked when we get to heaven and see all the things God planned. And maybe for just a brief moment, we'll find out all the things we missed out on. I don't know if that's true or not. Don't know if we will, because I think there's going to be a lot of rejoicing. But there is some wiping away of tears. And I often wonder about, you know, those things that God had it all planned and we just wouldn't go cut down the first tree. I can tell you of Sunday school teachers, I can tell you of soul winners like Kathy Moore in here one day, you know, somebody told her to be a soul winner. And so she said, oh, I can't do that. I mean, Kathy, obviously, she's not as tall as many folks in fourth grade. Kathy, you know, could have easily said, wait a minute, I'm not the one to choose. My voice is not big and strong. And then she's married, you know, to Al, who was a crippled man and so soft-spoken. And this couple became great, great soul winners for Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, folks, it all started by just going out and cutting down the first tree. You're not going to do anything as a Christian, but by faith. It's always by faith. And God, I believe with all my heart, you know, we look at our lives sometimes and we see all the pieces of the puzzle. And we can't even begin to figure out how it all fits. But God knows how to make it fit. All He wants you to do is step out by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Number one, I said, is the corruption. Number two, God gives the command. Number three, there's the complications. You see, it's very seldom in the Christian life is it just one time I'm going to trust the Lord. Very seldom is that how it works. It seems to be the just shall live by faith. That means day after day after day. Wait a minute, I trusted God. I cut down the first tree. And you have to keep cutting down the trees. And you have to keep serving and working by faith and giving by faith. Testimony after testimony all over this room. I guarantee faith promised missions. We just didn't know how we were going to be able to do what God told us to do. And yet, the testimonies, I've heard them, you've heard them. We did it. Don't know how, but we did it. Can't figure it out, but we did it. Isn't that wonderful? But are there ever complications? Sure. You know why? Because it takes more faith. I want to remind you, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if He just kept giving you everything all the time and it was smooth all the time, doesn't it seem like you wouldn't have to trust Him? That's our problem. We wiggle through our lives trying to get out of messes ourselves that God maybe wants us in so we can let Him get us out. So we trust Him. We say, but I'm in a valley now. I want to be up on the mountain. And so we avoid that valley. And that valley is exactly what God has for you so you can trust Him in it. And ultimately it pleases Him. That's what it's all about. There's complications. Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is a pretty big boat. If He said to go build a little rowboat, that wouldn't have been so bad. You know, there's several men in our church probably could have built a rowboat. I would have built something. It would have sunk. But a rowboat wouldn't. But this is 450 feet long. Okay, try to get this in your mind. 1.5 football fields long. Right around that. You got it? I'll never forget when Chad Dahlberg for Vacation Bible School, he put cones all around the property here and put them up in the tree. I still don't. Is that cone still up there, Chad? Noella went and got it. Do her parents know that? Shh. Okay, let's move on. Anyway, there was this. One day I saw a cone up in this pine tree out here. And I said, what in the world? And Chad Dahlberg put it up there so we could, and he outlined. There was another one back here, another one over here, and another one over here. And he showed how big the ark was. And honestly, I'd always known the numbers. Boy, that was such a good lesson that I learned. Amen? And the height and the length. You know, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide approximately, and 45 feet tall. And Noah, you need to build this thing. You know, no Lowe's to call, no Home Depot to call. Can't save big money at Menards. It's not happening. He's got to do exactly what God says. Isn't that amazing? You talk about a complication. Lumber yard's not going to deliver all the wood. Noah, you and your family, you're gonna do it. There really is too much easy Christianity when we understand the Bible says we're at war. And we don't like that. And so we try to avoid that. But yet we're at war. And while we're at war, there's also work. Read the book of Nehemiah, building and battling. That's the whole story of Nehemiah. We're building and we're battling. And it's all happening at the same time. And you say, wow, you know, I thought if I got saved, everything would be smooth. It's not going to be smooth because there's going to be complications because you're going to have to trust the Lord. Amen. Amen. It amazes me. You know, again, there's so much easy Christianity. I mean, a little bit of cold, a little bit of ice, a little bit of wind, and we, you know, churches cancel. And I'm not, that's their business. I'm not mad at them, but that's why we don't cancel. Always open. Last year, we had one service. There was probably a foot of snow or something like that, and I'm thinking 40 people came. And I thought, boy, that's two or more, isn't it? Two or more gathered together, there am I in the midst. There'll always be two, at least, because my wife and I, we just come up the alley. And usually the Varnums, they'll dig their way through. They built through this big mountain of snow we had last year. They dug a little, a valley through that thing. And Matt, what a man. And they made it all right. I'm just saying, you know, folks, there are difficulties in life, but the difficulties are when we have to trust God. And by faith, Noah. Amen. Corruption, the command, the complications. But then, of course, there's the complications are not only the fact that it was very difficult, but it was just such a big job, but also the Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 it was things not seen as yet. God many times has us do unique things as Christians. Things not seen as yet. Your neighbors don't understand. Do you understand? There are generations of people who don't understand going to church. You know, Chuck and Donna Pearson, their generation, they all understand going to church. That's how they grew up. People went to church. The United States of America, people used to go to church. It used to be, that's what you do on Sunday. Do you understand? Businesses used to be closed. You just go to church on Sunday. Well, nowadays, it's not. There's generations of people who don't have a clue, and they look at you like, what kind of a nut are you? Don't you know this is your day off? Don't you know this is Sunday? Don't you know there's football game? Don't you know there's other things? It's like they don't get it. They don't understand our bus route. All right, what do you people want? Oh, we want to bring your kids to church. Really? What are you after? Oh, we're not after anything. We're going to give them gum and candy and some toys and they have a Berean bucks and they can buy gifts and you're going to give things to our kids? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why do you do that? Well, we love them. Really? What kind of people are you anyway? No, seriously. There's no, they don't get it. You know, God has us do interesting things as Christians. And as God is explaining to Noah, you need to build an ark because it's going to rain. Noah says, what's that? Well, water's going to fall from the sky. How? You know, there's no way he can comprehend that. And that's one of the complications in Christian life is we want to comprehend everything and some things you can't comprehend. How do you comprehend Vacation Bible School? How do you comprehend a fair ministry? You know, go set up a tent and give away prizes and have people come in, fill out a little certificate so that they can win that prize. Give away free Kool-Aid and you do it, and folks will come all over the place and they'll come in there and you'll lead them to the Lord. Really? But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to the world. They don't understand. They don't understand people taking their time to. I'm just saying, it's unique. When I left RCA in Marion, Indiana, a factory, I was making for those days very good money. My wife was secretary at the Chamber of Commerce in Marion, Indiana, making good money. And people looked at us like, "What are you thinking? God's called me to preach." You know, and what a wonderful thing to me, but people don't understand. We started our church in Bern, Indiana, in the middle of Amish. And well, preacher, did you figure all that? No, God called me to do that. That's the only reason I did that. There wasn't any try to figure out this or try to figure out that. It's just what you do, what you have to do. You give an altar call, people don't understand nowadays. Used to, they did. Used to, they put sawdust down the aisle so folks could get up and down. And again, it was the way it was. But nowadays, it's like, what are you people doing? What are you after? Why do you want me to come up there? We just want you to get right with God. You don't even have to do it up here. Just do whatever God says to do. Amen. By the way, did you know that our salvation is unique? Because most of the world believes, and the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Most people believe you have to work your way to heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we just come to him. Amen. By faith. Bus ministry, you know, all these things, soul winning. They say, what are you people doing? What do you want? We just want to tell you about Jesus. Why? What do you want? Well, because we want you to be saved and go to heaven. You know, again, I want to remind you, and I was talking to somebody recently, every time I read through Ezekiel, Ezekiel's one of the toughest books for me in the Bible, and a lot of it's because of what God had Ezekiel do. And one time, Ezekiel laid on his left side for 390 days and preached to a little like a toy rendition of the city. And he laid on his left side 390 days, and he preached. And he put a big old metal pan between him and the city as a wall, as if just like the people were not listening to the word of God. And he just kept preaching on his side as people walked by. Look at that nut. And I often think, boy, I'm glad God doesn't ask me to do that. Ooh. You say, well, boy, I bet he relaxed after that 390 days were up. No, he turned on his right side and did the same thing for 40 days. And you say, you know, I don't think I could get my CDL. I just don't see how I could give that extra $10 a week. I know God's laid on my heart about this or about that or whatever, but I just, folks, listen to me. There are complications, but it's ultimately we have to do it by faith. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Ezekiel, what were you thinking? He said, I just did it. And pretty soon the 390 days were up, and pretty soon the 40 days were up. And I'm in heaven now, and I did what God wanted me to do by faith. Number four, we see the controversy, and that's very simple. In Hebrews, back in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible says that, I'm in all kinds of pages now. I don't know how I got to 1 Corinthians. Was anybody else in 1 Corinthians? No. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. There's controversy when you serve God by faith. By the way, as Noah was working, he was preaching. What are you doing, Noah? Well, I'm building an ark. Why? The judgment of God, that's why. Oh, come on. You got to be kidding. That ark would separate Noah from his friends, from his co-workers, from his acquaintances, from some of his family, uncles, aunts. Yeah, there was some controversy. You know what? Your Christianity may separate you too. Not because you're being mean or nasty. We should never be mean or nasty, but we should be Christians. I know that when my wife and I got on fire for God and wanted to serve God and everything, our families just kind of, They weren't sure how to take that. I mean, it's kind of like Noah building an ark. But you do it by faith. And you start making, you know, there was a time when I said to my family, I said, you know, I can't come over on Sunday night. Really? Why not? I mean, you always come over. Because I'm going to church. Why? That's how it was, you know. And there's going to be controversy when you know, if you say, well, I'm going to start driving a bus for our church. And it's like, they're going to think you're crazy. Really? How much does it pay? Eternal rewards. You know, amen. Yeah. But the world doesn't understand that. Yeah. You know, honestly, we have lost so many teenagers because of the controversy that comes with doing things by faith. We've lost so many because, hey, if I tell people that I'm a Christian, man, it's going to cause all kinds. And it does. It really does. I think about the fella at the car dealership down in Indianapolis, and you know, at first when we walked in, he's talking about, boy, you guys were lucky. I mean, you were lucky. Luck, 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 luck. Oh, so much luck. And I handed him my card that says I'm a pastor, and I hadn't really had a chance to talk to him very much. And all of a sudden he said, boy, you were, God sure was watching over you. Yeah. It's funny how that changed. But I'll tell you what, all of a sudden he was very uncomfortable. And that does happen when you take your stand for the Lord. And when Noah took his, as he starts building that ark, he condemned. You know what he's saying? He's saying God's judgment is going to come on everyone who's not inside. Isn't that what we're saying, folks? God's judgment is going to come on everyone who has not trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. You talk about controversy, but it's by faith. By faith. By the way, that is the truth. It is the truth for your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your coworker. If they're not saved, God's judgment is going to come to them. Amen. Number five is the commitment. The commitment, again, by faith, Noah, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do what God said, but there's some commitment involved in this, and it's huge to me. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear, and I believe there was a fear of God, but I think there also was a fear in his own heart that this thing is going to be big, and I can't hide it. We have Christians all the time trying to hide their Christianity. You're not going to hide the ark in your backyard. 1.5 football fields long? Whew, man. I mean, he couldn't hide his ark in his bathtub, amen? And therefore, his stand was going to be real obvious. There was no backing down. There's a commitment. No wimping out. There's a commitment. God said judgment's coming. There's a commitment. You know, a lot of folks just kind of stay back so they can vacillate here and there. I like commitment. I like faith promise. I like my own commitment that I make every year as far as our giving, my wife and I and our giving and all of that, and just saying, God, this is what you put on our heart. This is what we're going to do. Commitment. And I don't know how many times I've come to the middle of the year and said, I don't know how this is going to happen. Come to the time where that check has to be given or that money has to, and it's like how's it going to happen? We can't, and yet it's always by faith, and God always takes care of us if we live by faith. If God tells you to do it, you've got to do it. There's no room for change. There's no room if God said it. That's why when you make a decision at the altar, you ought to tell everybody you can tell. Stick your neck out. We'd rather make a decision in our pew so we don't tell anybody so we can waffle. So we can go back on it. I'm so glad I had a preacher that when I was growing in the Lord as a converted hippie, I'm so glad I had a preacher that said, hey, tell the decisions that you make so somebody's going to hold you to it. Amen. Because it's going to take everything to keep your commitments. Amen. Again, did God tell you to do something? Is there something you know right now? You're sitting here and you're thinking, I know what he's talking about. I know why he's preaching that message. There's some things by faith I need to be doing. The commitment. Number six is the condemnation. We've already referred to it, but I just want you to think about this. That ark in the yard, by it, he condemned the world. The condemnation. Your stand. Men, what's the Bible say? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And he told us we're light. We're supposed to be light. Ye are the light of the world. Yeah. Yeah, but God, don't you know that's gonna make people... Yeah, I know. I can imagine the crowds throwing rocks at the ark. Can you see it? Sunny day, 75 degrees, beautiful. Noah said, it's going to rain. Oh, Noah, you're nuts. What's wrong with you? You know, we're sinners. This world's corrupt. God's going to destroy the world by flood. What's a flood? And I can see him throwing rocks. Mocking, laughing, cursing. I can see all kinds of persecution. I remind you back in Genesis 6, it talked about a time of violence. Do you suppose they'd hold back on Noah and his family? What a dangerous time. Gossip and rumors. And can you imagine all the Facebook postings about Noah? And all the pictures people took. Look at the nut out there working with his family on the ark. Oh my. But again, it was by faith. Now, you have to understand, and we know this to be true, that when the ark was finished, Noah and his family went into the ark. I believe others could have. And then the animals came into the ark, and the Bible says God shut the door. That's God shut the door because if Noah would have, he'd have tried to open it. But since God shut the door, as soon as the thunder started to roll and the lightning started to flash and the rain started to fall, the people, I'm sure, were kind of wondering what was going to happen. And I believe this with all my heart. When the day comes and we do see Noah's ark, I believe that all around Noah's ark we will see the scratches of man and women trying to get in to that ark. But while it was being built, it was condemning and it was causing all kinds of problems where Noah would have to have faith. Can you imagine Noah and his family walking in the local store? People shunning them, ignoring them, mocking them. Sometimes that happens. Shouldn't, but it does. I come to the last thing, and that's the completion. Because he did it. By faith. How did you do it, Noah? You get to heaven, ask him. I just trusted God. God told me what to do every step of the way. Noah didn't know how to build an ark. Nobody built one. He couldn't go to the internet and look up ark and get the diagram and everything. God told him everything. And I'm just saying, folks, honestly, that's how we live our lives. As a Christian, that's how we should live our... God, what do I do now? What do I do? Okay, so I did that. Now what do I do? God, I took that step. Now what's my next step? God, you told me to get my CDL, so what do I do now? God says, drive a bus. Okay, well, what bus route do I take? Well, you talk to Mr. Hollins, and he'll give you a route. Well, there's no captain. Yeah, because the guy that God told to be a captain, he's still waffling on it. He didn't have enough faith to step out and be a captain, like the Baileys did 100 years ago. You know, so there was a day the Baileys just had to, by faith, they had to say, we'll do this. I guarantee in their mind, we can't do that. We don't know how to do that. We don't have a clue. And they've had two or three complications. They have two or three complications now. Every day. It's called getting up and getting in and stepping up the steps to the bus. And it's called heat. And Shirley brings her little squirt thing and squirts me in the face. And But the job, is it going to get done or not? Only by faith. That's how it's always been. Go back, study Hebrews 11. People died for the cause of Christ. People died serving the Lord. Fox's Book of Martyrs, read it. It's all completely by faith. But the truth is, God said, do this. And Noah did it. But he only did it one way, and that is by faith. What has God told you to do? It could be in the area of giving. Could be in the area of serving. It could be in an area as far as your job is concerned. It could have to do with your family. It could have to do with a relationship. It could have to do with any number of things. But I believe with all my heart that God had me preach this today, because there's folks all over this room that just need to do it by faith. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's looking around. Could be joining the church. Could be getting baptized. There's so many things. Just simply by faith is how we do it.